Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, look, COVID won't disappear. We're going to have to learn to live with it. But the risk is substantially reduced as a result of vaccination, as a result of immunity that people have acquired through prior infection. And so I think we're at the point in time when we can start lifting these ordinances in a wholesale fashion. And people have to take precautions based on their individual risk. They have to judge their own individual risk and decide whether or not they're going to avoid crowds or wear masks based on their circumstances.
Yeah, there are different factors for different people, obviously. This is Scott Gottlieb, former FDA commissioner. He's actually, yeah, I mean, I like Fauci. I respect Fauci. I know a lot of people don't for whatever. I mean, I know the reasons, but, you know, I don't have a problem with him. But I like that he talks faster, frankly. He speaks more at my pace.
But we've always said from a public health standpoint that we would set as a metric maybe when we get down to 10 cases per 100,000 people on a daily basis. Well, half the country's there right now. If you want to be more conservative and say 5 cases per 100,000 people, well, by this week, probably about a quarter of states will be there. So we're at the point right now we could start lifting these ordinances and allowing people to resume normal activities.
And by the way, just if you're wondering whether we qualify for that, that's that metric I keep telling you about, the density or the infection percentage, the saturation point, whatever you want to think of it as, you know, how many people in the last, he's saying, you know, the daily average case count per 100,000, which again, because it's relativized to population, it's a metric that you can use across the board. The number that I have been using is the older CDC number of the last 14 days worth of infections per 100,000 people. And so he's talking about 10 per 100,000. In the state of Florida right now, we are at 20. It's a 280 per 100,000, which is a 20 a day average. And so we're still fairly well above that. 10 100 in the last 14 days is actually the red versus yellow breakpoint for the CDC historically. That's a little bit lower than his 10. That's more like 7 per day. Escambia County right now is right at 10. I mean, it's like we're at 143, so divide by 14. It's 10 and a tiny amount of change per day. Santa Rosa County is at under 10. It's at 112. So it's at, you know, like right around 7 to 8, something like that. And if you look at the case counts in the last few days in Santa Rosa County, I mean, it's 9, 19, 23, 12, 23, 7, 6, 8 going backwards in time. So very, very low case counts. The point is, if you are vaccinated or if you've had it or if you're in an area where it's not that prevalent, and we're still in the prevalence zone, but, you know, we're getting a lot closer. And so I've told you before, we were talking about right before the break that, you know, I'm not wearing a mask when I'm in public now, unless you got a rule at your store. And you know what I have found? Most of those rules have gone away. There are very few places where you have to wear one, according to the store. And if they want to say to wear, I don't mind, you know, it's fine. And I recognize also, it's kind of maybe a weird thing to say, but I recognize that when vaccinated people are not wearing masks, the stranger next to you doesn't know whether you're just not willing or whether you've been vaccinated. And so the two groups look like an example of people don't need to wear a mask, and that can be a bad form of example for other people. So, you know, the wearing one and what other people see being done as normal, that's also, I see that as a value. It's a small value. It's not enough for me to wear one, but the point is, anyway, that we need to start thinking about these things individually, and especially limiting outdoors just doesn't make any sense.
Certainly outdoors, we shouldn't be putting limits on gatherings anymore. We should be encouraging people to go outside. And the states where prevalence is low, vaccination rates are high, and we have good testing in place, so we're identifying infections, I think we could start lifting these restrictions indoors as well on a broad basis.
Yeah, if you have low prevalence in an area, lift those restrictions, you know, and like locally, I would say it makes sense that we don't have these restrictions right now. Also, there's really good evidence that this vaccine is not just, or these vaccines, not just effective, but really effective, especially compared to something like flu vaccine and the risk that comes with flu itself?
Well, look, I think part of the hesitation right now is cultural. We have spent a year apart. We've spent a year being told to stay away from people and wear masks. I think it's going to take some time to get back in the normal swing of things and get that socialization back. But if you've been vaccinated with the mRNA vaccines or the J&J vaccine, your risk is very low from having a bad COVID outcome. And your risk of getting an asymptomatic infection that you could spread to others is also substantially reduced. The data now does support that. So we could start drawing some firm conclusions and basing our public health advice on that.
Yeah, and I will tell you, you know, there's a psychological value to wearing the mask. There's no doubt about that. We've talked about this before. Some people have ridiculed that as mask theater. And I understand the criticism. I still think there's an actual value as well. But some people are reluctant to give it up because they've become accustomed to it. And I thought there was a really good article, where was it, New York Times? I forget where I was reading this, but they made the comment that we didn't have a lot we could do. We didn't have a lot of agency in the pandemic, and a lot of people felt like everything was happening around them and there was very little they could do themselves. Wearing a mask was something to do. And so humans, especially Americans, don't like to feel powerless. We like to feel like we have control over situations. So being able to do something to feel like you're taking control, that was also certainly an aspect of mask wearing, and still is. And so people, if you tell them it's safe to not wear a mask, there's a part of them that's become attached to that feeling of empowerment that comes from it. And there's also people who don't like people and don't like being around people and like the isolation, the separation. That's a weird thing for those of us who do like people to think of, but that's also true. 437-1620, 437-1620.
You know, there's one model that's out that says that if you were 65 and above, your risk of succumbing to COVID, if you were infected with it, was around 1 in 100 during the peak of the infection, and probably a little worse than that at the outset. That same model now predicts it's about 1 in 20,000 if you've been fully vaccinated and you're an immunocompetent person.
That's a normal person gets vaccinated. What's your chance of dying from this if you actually get it? Extraordinarily low. Extraordinarily low. 615 on, and I'll tell you, just for me, it took about a day. It took about one day to move from always wearing it in public places to like, oh man, I'm never doing this again if I don't have to, because it's not a pleasant thing to wear them. It really isn't. And that's the advantage of getting vaccinated. So, 615 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, it's rainy out there, so let's keep those headlights on as we continue out this morning. Use extra caution. And with that, we do have delays over at the front gate of NES Pensacola, backed up to around the Shell station of Interbay Avenue. So that's going to take about 5 minutes to get you on to base. Back gate is flowing smoothly. Also flowing smoothly is Avalon Boulevard, as well as Garson Point Bridge. Seeing no delays along Gulf Breeze Parkway and Navarre Parkway. Highway 90 through Milton Pace checking in clear. That's also the case for 9 Mile Road and I-10 and I-110. This report's brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So, you know, a lot of times when you go to like a used car dealer, you feel like, you know, every step of the way, their only goal is just to sell you a car. And it feels that way. You know, pressure, maybe you might describe that as, but just not kind of like that. There's always something coming. When you go to Frontier Motors, I'll just give you, it's a little thing. Okay, it's a small thing. But the cars are unlocked in the morning. So if you want to go sit in a car, you don't have to like get permission from a gatekeeper just to sit in a car. You know, you can just go try. Open the door, get inside, play around, see what, you know what I mean? Now, if you want to start it up and use a key, I mean, you got to at least ask for that. But the point is, they want to make it easy for you. They don't want to make you feel like you're, you know, out of place or under pressure or something like that. They just want you to feel comfortable. Make a decision at your own pace. Make no decision at all. Just come to get information. Whatever is helpful. They just want to be helpful. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Look, I think that's right. People get uncomfortable when you start comparing the rate of, you know, death and the risk of COVID to flu. because of some of the comparisons that have been made in the past. But I think for, you know, most consumers who need something to anchor against, I think that that's a fair assessment, that if you're fully vaccinated against COVID with one of the Western vaccines, your risk of having a bad outcome from COVID is about comparable to flu and maybe less, because the vaccines for COVID are more effective than the vaccines for flu. So I think that that's a reasonable way for the average consumer to anchor their thinking about COVID right now.
And that's why, as Scott Gottlieb, former FDA commissioner, says, there's really no need to be wearing masks, especially in areas where the prevalence is declining and people are getting vaccinated, and those two are connected to each other. Ellison Bennett is on the line at 437-1620. Ellison, you had a thought about mask wearing?
Yes, good morning. I'm going to wear mine. I've been on a ventilator. I took the first Moderna shot on February the 27th. About March the 5th, my body acted in a violent way. My memory is gone from driving myself to a West Florida hospital early one morning. I don't have no memory after that, on the ventilator. And after I got off, three doctors told me the lingering effect of the virus, it might take another 6-8 months to clearly rid my body of the residual that's left over. So I'm not trying to tell people what to do. I'm saying, me as an individual, I was very ill. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to wear my mask. I'm going to still wash my hands. I'm not being around a crowd of people, and I'm not paranoid. I just thank God for life.
Absolutely. And Ellison, it's so awful to hear that that was your experience. Absolutely. And I think this is why Scott says everybody's going to have to make an individual decision. And I don't disagree with that. And I certainly, you know, I'm not advocating what anybody else should do. I'm just telling you, I have certainly enjoyed the freedom that I take off of having been vaccinated. But as you say, having experienced it, and certainly with that in your background, I can understand why that would be a terrifying thing going forward. Ellison, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 621 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
Maryland's governor believes American voters want lawmakers in Washington to tell them the truth, work together, and get things done.
We're just attacking members of our own party instead of focusing on solving problems or standing up and having an argument.
On NBC's Meet the Press, Republican Larry Hogan says the GOP's push to draw closer to Donald Trump isn't likely to broaden the tent. He says successful politics is about addition and multiplication, not subtraction and division. A 4-year-old girl expected to be okay after being shot in New York while toy shopping. She and a tourist hit in the leg and a 43-year-old woman shot in the foot. Police say it happened when a gunman opened fire on a crowd in Times Square, aiming for his brother. And oil prices rising this morning after that pipeline was shut down because of a cyber attack. Nearly half the fuel supply on the East Coast comes from that Colonial pipeline.
Mark, by the way, I know we haven't done a lot of follow-up on this, but did you get hit by any rocket debris over the weekend on Saturday?
Oh, I did not. I hear it was a close call, though.
Yeah, it just narrowly missed us in the Indian Ocean.
Right.
Which,
near the islands there.
I hate to say it, but apparently the Chinese were right. It was just going to fall in the water. They didn't know. Nobody knew.
It was just the odds were.
The odds were 70% chance.
Most of the planet is water.
That's right. 70% of the Earth is water. So 70% chance it's going to land in the water. They're, you know, they can't know. They're just saying, well, we're playing those odds.
Yep.
All right, Mark. It's fascinating what things are. You know, what was somebody used a phrase, and all of a sudden I can't remember what it was, but it was that, you know, humans are basically bad at assessing risk. Duh. I mean, if you can picture it, right? If you can picture it, you can imagine it, you can be afraid of it. This is one of those things that humans are very, very terrible at. They overanalyze risk. That was the phrase. They overanalyze risk, which means that we're bad at assessing just how much at risk we are. Vivid experiences, personal experiences, truly vivid personal experiences. You see it on the news. You know, it makes you afraid as opposed to the statistics. You know, I mean, basically, look, I taught logic for 10 years. I taught logic and ethics for 10 years. That's my background if you're new to the show. And I will tell you that it is my longstanding belief that humans are not rational. And this one's a little bit more painful to admit. I'm not sure that we're supposed to be. I mean, seriously, I'm not joking. I sound like Biden. I'm not joking, man. There's an idea among thinkers, among, if you want to call them philosophers, the more analytical types. You know, everybody tends to think that everybody else ought to basically be like them. It's a human foible. But analytical types, rationalists, kind of think that everybody's supposed to be rational, reasonable, evidence-based, and not whatever else they disparage. You know, cliquish, cultural, emotional, whatever. Okay, fair. I mean, you know, maybe we'd be better off. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure a world full of purely rational people is honestly the best place to be. But I just think the evidence is clear that people aren't rational. And as opposed to thinking about that as a terrible foible, which it can be, it's just a reality. And one of those ways is that we overanalyze risk. You know, we look at some captivating terror, like this rocket from China. You know, your chances of getting hit by that were, I mean, there's 1,000 other things every single day that are more likely to harm you than that. And yet, it's still captivating. Oh, my God, where's this thing going to come down? Do I need to mark myself safe from it on Facebook? Well, I wasn't near the Indian Ocean. It can't be that big of a deal. Oh, and then there's that woman in Alabama. Or not Alabama. Where did that woman get? There was the bit of space debris that came down that hit the house in Alabama. And then that woman who got hit in the park by a chunk of it back in 98 or whatever. And they had her on the news. I'm like, come on now. It's one person in 25 years.
Yeah, and the odds of that just happening, right?
But we're captivated by that. Oh, what does she have to say? it's crazy. And yet, you know, human. Maybe it's okay. It's human. 626 News Radio 923 and AM 1620. If you're wondering how long this weather is going to last right now, the storm, looking at the News Radio ThreatNet radar, is pretty intense. The worst of it actually is Okaloosa County just north of I-10 and a little bit in Santa Rosa County north of I-10. We've got a couple of very significant storms there with some east wind blowing hard, so that might even be some straight winds and one rotational element on my News Radio ThreatNet radar. The rest of us have it just rain and lightning, and that's going to continue on for the rest of the morning. 1620, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Remember I told you last week about this sort of burgeoning discussion, a growing discussion within the Catholic Church of whether, this is a long-standing discussion, it's just, it's particularly poignant when it comes to Joe Biden being so adamantly pro-Catholic and so adamantly pro-choice on abortion. You've got several different bishops disagreeing on the question of public officials who are in this position taking of communion. But just keep in mind, this is not the Catholic Church trying to punish somebody by depriving them communion. This is actually them trying to protect them who have already identified them as being outside of the fellowship. That's where the discussion lies.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Amazon, which has been under pressure from shoppers, brands, and lawmakers to crack down on counterfeits on its site, says it blocked more than 10 billion suspected phony listings last year before any of their offerings could be sold. The number of blocked phony listings last year was up about 67% from the year before. Amazon says it's stopping counterfeiters before they can sell anything, thanks to machine learning technology. Mission accomplished. The Global Citizen effort to raise money for coronavirus vaccine says it has exceeded its goal. Global Citizen says the concert pulled in $302 million, and organizers say that helped procure more than 26 million doses of the vaccine. The special Vax Live, the concert to reunite the world, aired this weekend on ABC, CBS, and other broadcast online and radio outlets. President Biden, Prince Harry, and Jennifer Lopez were among the big names who participated. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a mixed open this morning. That's Your Money Now.
You know more about today's news because you listen to Pensacola's breaking news leader, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Yeah.
She don't care. Good morning, 638 News Radio, 92.3 AM, 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, David Forte. Used to be with the county. We used to have him on to talk about roads projects for Escambia County all the time. Now he is with the city of Pensacola. He is the Interim Public Works and Facilities Director. David, welcome back. Your first time on in your new gig, I think. It's been a year, but I think this is your first time in your new gig.
It is. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So on Friday, we had a conversation with Alan Gray, a good friend of mine, a city planner, and training. And he raised a question that I know I had been thinking about, but I know I had never mentioned on the air, so I got to give him the credit for it. The question was regarding Three Mile Bridge. When Three Mile Bridge opens, it is likely at this point to open as a two lanes only, one lane in either direction from Gulf Breeze to Pensacola, before eventually opening as a four-lane facility the way it had been before, and then eventually, of course, it's going to be six lanes when they get the second span done. His proposal was, when it's only two lanes, one lane in each direction, why not instead, for a couple of hours in the morning and a couple of hours in the afternoon, maybe 6 to 9 and 4 to 7, do all northbound in the morning from Gulf Breeze to Pensacola, because that's the bulk of the traffic, and then in the afternoon rush hour, do all southbound into Gulf Breeze, because people are leaving the city and going back home. I know not everybody, but most of the traffic, and the rest of the time, two directions. Is that something that FDOT has considered? Is that something that you guys have talked about as a possibility, or is that even a feasible thing? If you tell me I'm crazy, I'll take it. You're the expert.
No, absolutely not. Even if I thought, I probably would never tell you that. No. it's definitely something that's been deployed and is being deployed, you know, in other areas of the country. I believe the Golden Gate Bridge did it for a little while. What it benefits, that's really probably a better question for the department. I did speak with DOT representation just a couple, you know, probably midweek last week, and kind of just asked them how they're going and whatnot. And they're very confident that the week of Memorial Day weekend is their target to reopen the bridge, at least from a two-lane perspective. Like you said earlier, it's a two-lane operation. I don't believe any additional studies have been done to consider other plans, traffic flow plans, like one that Mr. Gray and you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Logistically, could it happen? Yes, but it would be a bit of a bear to try to implement something like that in such a relatively short time. It takes many months, if not even well over a year, to even just to deploy all the considerations, factor everything in as far as how you're going to notify the public, and make sure that they're aware that these times of day, you know, you're only going northbound. These times of day, you'll be going southbound. The police force that would be necessary, the machinery to make sure the barricades, the MOT, the maintenance of traffic. It's just, like I said, can it work? Absolutely. Is it something that's feasible in such a relatively short period of time, since we're only, you know, two, maybe 3 weeks out from reopening? That's really a question for the Department of Transportation, but I wish I had a better answer for you.
Okay, so it's what I hear you saying is potentially very useful idea if only you'd have thought of it 3 or 4 months ago. when we of course thought we were going to be getting a full blown reproduced bridge, already prior to now, back on back in March sometime. So, I mean, okay. And look, I understand that it would be a little bit complicated to explain to people, and that you have to be sure to message that effectively in order to get, you know, people to understand where they're supposed to go at what time of day. And I know that, you know, it's kind of funny. The reaction on social media, it made me laugh, because everybody, we're too dumb to drive that. Nobody's going to be able to. Come on, people, give yourselves more credit than this. But, you know, to me, anything is going to be an improvement over now. Well, maybe. I mean, I don't. You're the expert. Am I right to think that it's possible that even opening two lanes might create so much confusion that it might actually be worse than it is, right? I mean, is that, because that's another concern, is that, you know, rather than waiting to get the full four lanes open, that going two lanes might even be problematic. Am I thinking about that the right way, David?
Sure. Well, let me just preface this. And like I said earlier, we have a constant communication, if not meetings, every several days, if not, a couple times a week, with the department. I know they're working tirelessly to do two things: make sure that the bridge is open and there's a functional plan, as well as, and more importantly, that it's a safe option for the traveling public. But going back to what you said, that is a concern, and I think it's a very legitimate concern as to whether a two-lane facility, even at just an interim basis, I wouldn't necessarily say confusion, maybe concern about, you know, what's the congestion going to be like. Now, anytime you modify a traffic pattern, and right now we've had this unfortunate pattern for the better part of, what, say, 9, 10 months now.
Yeah.
I guess 9 months. So anytime you change a pattern, it's going to take a little bit of time for people to normalize the new patterns. Obviously, 17th Avenue will be reopened for the northbound traffic that are coming from Gulf Breeze into Pensacola Beach. You will be able to utilize northbound 17th Avenue to go to Cervantes. You will not be able to use southbound still from 17th Avenue from Cervantes to the bridge. And there's also going to be a couple other modifications throughout that the department's still tweaking their plans, but I think they're pretty solid and comfortable with what they got. We as a city are continuing to press to people that when the bridge is reopened, plan and just be prepared to utilize 9th Avenue. It doesn't mean that you have to use 9th Avenue, but the best facility probably to get to the bridge if you're in Pensacola would be 9th Avenue or maybe even further to the west. But 9th Avenue would give you a direct connection to Bayfront Parkway, would get you hopefully into the queue, if not, you know, hopefully the queue doesn't stack up that far back.
Right.
But it should get you into the queue to get you onto the bridge. Because 14th Avenue, they will not be allowing a left out from 14th Avenue. And like I said, southbound 17th Avenue will not be allowed during this two-lane reopening phase. So 9th Avenue is definitely the roadway that we recommend to utilize and to get onto the bridge if you're coming anywhere from the Pensacola area.
We're talking to David Forte. He is the Interim Public Works and Facilities Director for the City of Pensacola. David, hey. Do you have any sense? I mean, everybody's been very dodgy about giving me any estimate of the four lanes. Do you have any sense of when we should expect four lanes to be open?
I wish I had an exact date for you, if not a month, but no, I do not. Obviously, as I said earlier, we talk continuously and constantly with the department. They are very much aware that four lane facility is where we want to be. And they are working tirelessly to get us to that point. You know, I think there's an opportunity or a chance that the roundabout may be open prior to the four lane facility, and or they'll maybe just wait until the four lane is done to do it all at one time. I'm not quite sure how they've discussed or internally, you know, tweaking those plans, but I know that's something that they're considering to try to provide more access into and off of the bridge, even if the four lane is not open. But as far as the four lane opening, I wish I had an answer for you.
Okay, well, you know, I appreciate that. And that's kind of been the answer we've gotten from everybody. I keep hoping somebody's going to know something that somebody else doesn't know, maybe, and we'll get some guidance. Hey, last thing is, you're starting a project soon on Jefferson Street, right?
Yeah, that is correct. It's a we call it a public-private partnership, really. Where the City of Pensacola has entered into an agreement with some local developers to completely revitalize Jefferson Street. This is the stretch from Chase Street South to Garden Street. Right now, you'll see a lot of work being done kind of off the outside of the right-of-way on a private property. But over the next couple weeks, and you probably should expect some public information office releases soon, that Jefferson Street will be closed down throughout the entirety of the project. Probably in that May 24th or the day after. I think that would be May 31st, Memorial Day, I think it is. So it would be June 1st, either May 24th or June 1st, somewhere around that time frame. We'll be closing down Jefferson Street and actually completely revamping and something similar to what you see in front of the YMCA.
Okay. It's like the walking, correct, driving Woonerf kind of, you know,
complete streets.
Right. That's going to be that design there, so that it can be closed off for special events, the way, you know, we have like gallery night, that kind of thing. But on the north side of Garden and a street off on Jefferson, is that right?
On Jefferson Street, from between Chase Street and Garden Street, correct.
Got it.
So yeah, we're we're working very closely. So over the next couple of weeks, you'll see that road close, and we'll make sure everyone is fully aware of when that's going to happen and how to detour.
Yeah, and I'm super optimistic about that project, too. I think that'll be really a neat thing for some growth and development on the north side of Garden as well. David Forte, he is the Interim Public Works and Facilities Director for the City of Pensacola. Always a great source of information. Hey, David, thanks for the work that you do. Thanks for making our lives better by giving us a better ability to drive around town. We appreciate it. Thanks for the time, man.
Thank you. Be safe.
You bet. 6:50 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. I'm so hot, give me your gasoline. Ella le gusta la gasolina. Dame más gasolina. But I end up working in a gas station. I end up working in a gas station. I can't drive 55. National average for a gallon of gas, 296. Florida, 287. Lee Vining, California, 529. And 209 in San Antonio, Texas. That is the best in the nation. In Navarre, you've got 285 east of the Walmart, 282 west of the Walmart, 293 up 87. And I saw a 304 at the Tom Thumb way up 87 on Saturday. 287 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge in Midway, 276 at the CEFCO in Milton, 276 across P Ridge at the Walmart, 279 at both stations in Pace. Over into Pensacola, 273 on 9 Mile at the Walmart, 279 at the US 29 Murphy Station in front of the Walmart. And coming in from the south, west side, 284 at the Navy Exchange, 279 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on Navy. 6:52, Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Police in Colorado vowing to find answers for grieving families in a Mother's Day tragedy. A woman's boyfriend barged into a mobile home during a birthday party and opened fire, killing the woman and six other adults before taking his own life. A member of the House Energy Committee says the Colonial Pipeline hack shows the need for America to invest in cybersecurity.
This needs to redouble our efforts as a country to get past our internal divisions as the end-all be-all of everything and focus on things like critical infrastructure.
On CBS's Face the Nation, Republican Adam Kinzinger says it's important to understand the hack as critical infrastructure becomes more dependent on technology. Is it too soon to start monitoring the tropics?
No.
Apparently not. Nothing in the Gulf or the Atlantic this morning, but the earliest named storm on record is moving out to sea in the Pacific. Tropical Storm Andres formed off the west coast of Mexico over the weekend.
Wrong half of the world.
Wrong half of the world.
Not listening.
Yeah. Officially, we've still got about, 3 weeks before the season starts.
Goodbye, Mark. Thanks for the update. Okay. 850 or 654 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Yeah, I thought this was taboo. We can't talk about this stuff too early.
Mm-mm.
No way. But we can talk about our Pensacola Ice Flyers. They were victorious over Knoxville in the semifinals. So that means with that win, they move on to the championship series, their first since 2016. And they're going to be taking on the Macon Mayhem, who, by the way, are extremely good. They actually set a SPHL record for best winning percentage. They only have 6 losses on the year. So a great team. But I think we all know the Ice Flyers are a pretty good team, too. That series begins Friday at the Pensacola Bay Center. Game starts at around 7:05. The Pensacola Blue Wahoos had a good first series against the Mississippi Braves, however, dropping the last 2 games. So they're 4-2 on the year. They won that series. They'll be coming home for their first home series tomorrow, weather pending.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be against the Birmingham Barons. That pitch will be at 6:35. Get your tickets. It's, they have about over 4,000 seats available. So I hope to see you out there. I'll be out there. So really looking forward to that. That's your quick shot of sports. Now rolling us into your traffic on the fives, because Andrew, we have an accident. This is on the Escambia Bay Bridge eastbound. It involves an RV as well as a vehicle, also with the rain mixed in. It's just making for not a pleasant scene. I did receive a report that there is roadblock. It is backing up. Use caution over there. Again, accident eastbound Escambia Bay Bridge of I-10, and it's backing up delays. Not quite to Olive Road yet, but it's going to take a little while. Scenic Highway, I should say. Avalon Boulevard looking a little slow moving in northbound. Also, Garcon Point Bridge northbound delayed from Gulf Breeze all the way until you're through that toll plaza. If you notice anything else, call me at 262-6111. And this report's brought to you by Central Credit Union. Enjoy your summer with great low rates on motorcycles, ATVs, or choose a versatile summer season loan at Central Credit Union. You can visit ccufl.org for more information. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, a couple of different ways you can think about your car. Way number one, maintenance. Way number one is that you buy a car and you never think about it again. Okay, great plan until it breaks down or you get bad gas mileage or something catastrophic happens, right? That's a terrible plan, okay? Not the way to go. Or you can think about your car the way you think about your body, which is, you know, this is a complex mechanical system. It needs ongoing maintenance. It needs to be checked up once in a while. And that's for your body, which is relatively self-healing. Your car does not self-heal at all. Same philosophy, okay? Bobby Likas Auto Service, the whole idea there is that you come in once in a while and just have them look it over. Check it out, you know, obviously do your routine kind of maintenance stuff, but also just give it the once over and check all the things to make sure that you're not about to head into a problem. That will prolong the life of your car. It will keep the value higher. It will get you better gas mileage. And more importantly, it'll prevent the problems before they become big problems. So if that makes sense to you, get your car over to Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway or check them out online at carclinicservice.com. .658 Future News on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. The truth before it's true, Davis Allen and I. That's the idea. Two lanes. Will the two lanes be just one way during rush hour, or will that not be happening?
I think it'll be not happening.
Yeah, I also think it's not going to happen. When will we get four lanes? Nobody seems to be willing to say. When will we get four lanes, full functionality, the Pensacola Bay Bridge? Full functionality.
Closer to 2022.
I hate to say this. September. I think it's going to be post-summer when we get the full four back. I hope that's not true. I really do. Pipeline. Will that pipeline get back online that was taken off because of the ransomware attack?
It will.
When?
Let's go a couple days.
Yeah. To tomorrow? Maybe? Today? Something like that? When will the water tower be done getting painted? They had said like 4, 5, 6 weeks ECUA did, but it's making fast progress.
Say 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think so too. I think by the end of the month, I think it'll be done. It looks really nice. And will we all start calling mothers birthing persons?
No.